Day 65, Monday, January 2nd. Job 23 and 24. Job 23 1-17 NKJV. Then Job answered and said, "Even today my complaint is bitter, my hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No. But he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside.
I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness, and he did not hide deep darkness from my face." Job 24 1-25 NKJV. Since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know him see not his days? Some remove landmarks, they seize flocks violently and feed on them, they drive away the donkey of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox as a pledge. They push the needy off the road, all the poor of the land are forced to hide. Indeed, like wild donkeys in the desert, they go out to their work, searching for food. The wilderness yields food for them and for their children. They gather their fodder in the field and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked, without clothing, and have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains, and huddle around the rock for want of shelter. Some snatch the fatherless from the breast, and take a pledge from the poor. They cause the poor to go naked, without clothing, and they take away the sheaves from the hungry. They press out oil within their walls, and tread wine presses, yet suffer thirst. The dying groan in the city, and the souls of the wounded cry out, yet God does not charge them with wrong. There are those who rebel against the light, they do not know its ways nor abide in its paths. The murderer rises with the light, he kills the poor and needy, and in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no, I will see me, and he disguises his face. In the dark they break into houses which they marked for themselves in the daytime, they do not know the light, for the morning is the same to them as the shadow of death. If someone recognizes them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. They should be swift on the face of the waters, their portion should be cursed in the earth, so that no one would turn into the way of their vineyards. As drought and heat consume the snow waters, so the grave consumes those who have sinned. The womb should forget him, the worm should feed sweetly on him. He should be remembered no more, and wickedness should be broken like a tree. For he preys on the barren who do not bear, and does no good for the widow. But God draws the mighty away with his power. He rises up, but no man is sure of life. He gives them security, and they rely on it, yet his eyes are on their ways. They are exalted for a little while, then they are gone. They are brought low, they are taken out of the way like all others. They dry out like the heads of grain. Now if it is not so, who will prove me a liar, and make my speech worth nothing? Daily Deep Dive. Chapter 23. We will read from the UCG reading plan for this chapter, but I wanted to point out a statement you will read in verse 12. To begin. Verse 12, Job states, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is a beautiful statement. The word for necessary food here in the Hebrew means appointed portion, JFB. We understand that physical food we need for survival is compared to the spiritual food we need for our spiritual life. Both are critical to life, and Job understands that well. In the model prayer, We are told to look to God to take care of our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Matt 6:11. Additionally, in Proverbs 38, uses this same Hebrew word for appointed portion. It states, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food allotted to me. Job understood that his physical needs were taken care of by God, but that God also feeds him daily with his spiritual food. Job shows that he places the priority on that spiritual food, as we all should, over the physical that he gives us. Each of you, a part of this plan, are showing God daily that you treasure the words of his mouth, the spiritual food that he provides. May we work each day to value you at over even the precious physical food we eat each day. The UCG reading plan states, Job does not answer Eliphaz's outrageous charges. Instead, he groans and wishes he could go to God and present his case before him. In verse 5, the phrase I would know the words which he would answer me means I would like to know his answer. In contrast to Eliphaz's apparent contention that God did not really care whether Job was innocent, see Job 22:1-3, Job is convinced that God did care and that if he could reason with God, then he would at last be delivered. While Job cannot travel about to find God, he realizes that God, in contrast, knows exactly where to find him because God is putting him through his current trial. Verses 8-10. Job's point in verse 10 about emerging from God's test as gold compares to similar imagery in later passages where the purification of gold and silver are used to typify trials refining God's people. For example, Deuteronomy 4:20, Psalms 66:10, Isaiah 48:10. 1 Peter 1:6-7, 1 Peter 4:12, Revelation 3:18. However, in Job 23:10 it is not clear if Job is saying that his current trial will burn away his impurities leaving only gold, or pure character, remaining, or if he means that the test will reveal him as having had pure character all along. The latter seems more likely since, in the next two verses, he states that he has not departed from God's commandments, indirectly refuting Eliphaz's charges. And, chapter 24, verse 2, when it says, some remove landmarks, this refers to boundaries that are set between different pastures, JFB. Compare Deut 19:14, 27:17 and Prov 22:28. Adam Clark's commentary adds stones or posts were originally set up to ascertain the bounds of particular estates, and this was necessary in open countries, before hedges and fences were formed. Wicked and covetous men often removed the landmarks or termini, and set them in on their neighbor's ground, that, by contracting their boundaries, they might enlarge their own. The UCG reading plan for this chapter states, the precise meaning of Job 24:1 is debated. The phrase since times are not hidden from the Almighty could also be rendered why are times not stored up, or reserved, by the Almighty? The point of the entire verse might be, why does God not reserve particular times or days and make his servants aware of them? These times could refer to God setting days for holding court or to meet with his servants in need, in conjunction with Job's desire in chapter 23 to appear before God. Alternatively, the times could refer to set periods of judgment, to deal with the sinners Job describes in 24:2-17. It seems that Job's concern for his own unjust suffering has sparked the thought about the broader issue that many innocent people in the world are made to suffer at the hands of sinners who themselves do not have to pay for their crimes. How is that fair? Verses 18-25 are disputed. Note how the New King James Version has added the italicized word should a number of times in verses 18 and 20. Without this, the verses are statements of fact concerning the fate of the wicked, as other versions render them. Many, including the NKJV editors, do not think Job would be saying that the wicked will get theirs, as this seems not to fit in context and agrees too much with his friend's argument. However, Job could well be noting that the wicked will eventually receive punishment in the end, and is just upset that they seem to get off scot-free until then. Others see him as pronouncing a curse on the wicked here, because God doesn't seem willing to, or stating what God should do as in the NKJV. Verses 22 to 24 may refer to not just the wicked but all men ultimately being brought low, seeming to show that God uses his power arbitrarily. There is so much wickedness, so much of man hurting his fellow man. Why does God let it go on? Why doesn't he bring immediate judgment? Why do the innocent have to suffer at the hands of cruel and wicked men? Why does God himself bring terrible suffering on Job, who is innocent? This is the essence of what Job wants to understand in this passage, the case he would bring before God. And, as Christians, we understand why God is temporarily allowing all of this suffering and injustice to take place. Satan and mankind have rebelled against God in his perfect way. They have instead chosen to go their own way and to choose for themselves what is right and wrong. Injustice has been man's way from the beginning and will continue until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will overthrow the governments and ways of man. We long for this day. As for Job, God works with his chosen people in the midst of this perverse world and continues to refine and prepare his true people to rule alongside his Son Jesus Christ for all eternity. Job's suffering is unimaginable to us, but so is his reward. See 1 Cor 2-9.